Today's episode is brought to you by AOS Kitchens, the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast. Today we're talking to Tom from Smoked Face Grillers. So, bit of a trigger warning on this one. Tom went through an experience that wasn't very nice at all. It was a very difficult thing, and he's grown as a person off the back of it. And what a lot of what we talk about is dealing with some mental health issues and having to go through a period that's really tough and how you can group together. Also, there's a little bit of swearing in this episode, so if there's little ears around, maybe don't listen to it in front of them. But from what we're talking about, it's important I leave it in. But, you know, Tom at the same time has a fantastic Instagram account, Smokeface Gorilla, has some great cooks on there, and he's won some competitions because of how good he is at it. But Tom can tell you all about that. So without much further ado, here's Tom. Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. It's just me today because Owen's been bogged down with work stuff and family stuff and everything. And I sound a bit funky because I've got a bit of a cold. But we crack on with things, don't we? But for anyone who might not know who you are, please do introduce yourself and tell everyone on the podcast exactly what you're about.
So my name's Tom. I'm Smokeface Gorilla. I've been on the Instagram for a little over a year now. It was my barbecue birthday about 2 weeks ago, which is quite funny because I posted it was my birthday on Instagram and everyone was sending me dead nice happy birthday messages.
You'll take that.
But I just like showcasing the food that I cook at home, the food that I cook for everyone around me to make me happy. And I'm very open about how barbecue has been a healing process for me. So I think that's what's helped the page take off as well as it has done in those 12 months.
It's one of those things that we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast, how much getting outside can help, getting involved in that sort of thing, and also the community that has come up from all the barbecuing, which has been fantastic. So, well, what has that really meant to you after all of the different things that everyone and yourself has been through over the last few years?
Well, I think lockdown affected everyone, and that's where barbecue seems like shoot up. And I've always been a fan of barbecue from going. I've got a cousin who lives in South Africa. Went over to visit him a few times, so I learned about the braai life over there, and it gripped me. So I used to barbecue over there, and then during lockdown, my missus very generously bought me a Kamado Joe because I was buying crappy old barbecues from B&Q. They were getting rusted out because I went looking at them, so I was buying a new barbecue every summer, and my missus was like, right, it's a good one, look after it, take care of it. So that gave me something to do. I was dead intimidated by it, though. Like, it sat in the kitchen for like 3 months before I even lit it, because I was like, I need to learn about this bad boy before I ruin it. So during lockdown, kept me occupied, kept me happy, and then in May of last year, we had a really bad house fire. We were asleep on the first floor, and the downstairs kitchen was completely ablaze, and smoke completely engulfed the house. We woke up to my missus thinking that her eldest daughter, who slept on the floor above, we thought that the fire come from her room. And luckily the baby was in bed with us that night, because my missus opened the door, the whole bedroom got engulfed in smoke. We shouted up to her daughter because we thought it was a candle in her bedroom that caused it, because it was just black everywhere. So we got out, we had to climb up the bedroom window, and the whole downstairs was completely lit off with fire. So that affected me mental health really badly. I got diagnosed with, I think it was like level 3 PTSD, like they measured it in levels.
And
I had like the same level as someone, a soldier who had been to war. I was having nightmares, I could smell fire. Like, my missus had some lilies out the front by the front door, and the smell of the pollen smelled a bit like fire to me, and it was making me panic, so we had to throw the flowers out. And I was going through therapy quite a lot, and at the time, strangely enough, that lighting the fire and cooking food over it was good therapy for me. The incident completely stripped me of my personality. The only time when I was happy and back to myself was when I was cooking food. So I'd done a few like little barbecue step-by-steps on my personal Instagram, and everyone was messaging me like, you need to do this, you need to make a dedicated one, you need to go all out on this. And I was up in an Ireland, and it was Laura who was like, look, you've got a talent here. I know that you don't want to put yourself out there, but I really think you should. And she pushed me, so I went and done it. And the more I cooked over the barbecue, the better I felt. And it ended up being, I spoke to my therapist about it, and we agreed that fire made me lose all control. That day, I lost everything, lost control of my emotions, I lost control of the actual incident. But when I'm cooking on a barbecue and I'm cooking over fire, I'm controlling that uncontrollable item, if you get what I mean. I'm controlling the fire, and it makes me feel like I'm getting one over it. So every time I was lighting up the barbecue, I was feeling better about myself, I was feeling better about the situation. And overall, the amount of support that we had after the fire, the support I had from my partner and my family, and the support once I launched Smokeface Griller, it just made me feel like me again. Like, I'm back out there talking to people online. It's been unbelievable. Like, the barbecue community have helped me out so much. I always say, like, when I do little shout-outs, people don't realise how much they help me. But there are times, especially early on, when I didn't speak to any friends or anyone, didn't want to speak to anyone. I was a recluse. I only felt safe when I was with Laura and the baby, Blake, and my brother or someone. But now, because of the barbecue community, I'm feeling more like myself. I'm feeling more out there. I can talk more out there, even if it's just through my phone when I'm doing posts, or if I'm like chatting to you now. I look back to 14, 15 months ago, and I'm a completely different person to when I was just scared to put anything out there.
It's such a sad story, everything that you've been through. But to see where you are now, to see what you're producing on Instagram and some of the things that you've done and have achieved, which we'll talk about as well through the barbecue community, but also to see how everyone has come together for yourself, but also everyone else in the community is an amazing thing to see. And as I've said, we've talked on the podcast a few times before about mental health, but it's amazing what getting outside, controlling that aspect of cooking, of fire and everything, but also how it brings people together can really help these things. But you're a fantastic ambassador for all of that and what it can do. You must feel proud of where you are now and some of the things you've done.
Do you know what, mate? Honestly, it didn't really like hit me until I was speaking to like the lads from Q Together. I speak to Dan near enough every day, Dom and Tom are two boss lads. And when I was speaking to them, I fit Sizzle Fest, and I beeline straight for them as soon as we got there anyway, because like I said, I speak to Dan all the time, and but the three of them, and it's the first time I got to meet Russ as well, and obviously James the Butcher was there, so I was chatting to all them, and it was like Dom, who was saying like you embody what we're trying to do, and we're so happy that you're like part of this and like friends with us. It's really awesome. And I was like, I had a few drinks and I just sat back and I was like, so what, I am actually quite proud of what I've done. I never would have been able to do it without the support of Laura and like my brother Wilson and Laura's kids, everyone who pushes me to do stuff like that. And then every time I've done a post, the support that everyone gave me was just like, that's insane. So I like to replicate that now. I love highlighting other people's cooks, whether I'm just sharing it on my stories, if I'm giving someone a shout out. I just think it's good to see in a community where there's so many people, everyone likes to see someone else win. There's little bits of jealousy here and there, you can see that, but most of all, if one of us in the community is winning, we're all winning, and you do get that feel when you speak to people about it, and that's what makes me proud, mostly to be counted as a big part of the community. That's what I'm most proud of the world.
And some of the things that you're very humble in, the fact that just like you say, you just like to barbecue, you like to share other things, but some of the cooks you've done are fantastic. And that's why you win things. Things like, yeah, come on, you're laughing now. I don't need to say it. So what have you been winning with some of the cooks you've been doing? Go on, tell us.
So this year was officially called my double champ year. It was champ. And so it's funny, I was looking back at old stories that I've done. And I posted about it. It was when Restaurant Roulette was going on. And I thought, I hope I'm good enough in a couple of years' time to be able to enter these competitions. I'm going to give him a shout out now. Lee Smokes here and Artist both commented underneath my comments and was like, you're good enough now. So I was humming and ahhing about like what I'd do. So restaurant roulette had been safe passing. And then it was the Big K Products steak aubrey. And I was down in Cornwall at the time. And I was in Devon at the time, sorry. And I literally said the day before I turned around to Laura, we just cooked this Boss Tomahawk on my Mini Kamado. And it's still to this day one of my favourite steaks that I've ever cooked for Laura. She always talks about it. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to cook what I enjoy cooking now instead of trying to impress people. I'm going to just cook steak. I love cooking steak. I love everything about it. And that morning, Poppy from Norfolk Smoke Pit had messaged me to say she's entered me in Big K Product Steak Aubrey. So I was like, all right, it's a steak cooking competition. And when I seen everyone else who'd been entered in it, I had by far the least amount of followers. I was like, do you know what? Fuck this, I'll go all out. Yeah. I like cooking steak, let's just do it. And it was a good competition because you got to campaign. So like you can message people saying, check this out if you think we vote for it. You can post it on your stories. You can remind people to vote. And I got a bye through the first round. And the second round I come up against Scott's Food. And he's a good lad. Like I ended up becoming mates with everyone else who went to the competition. Like, but I said to him, I was like, I didn't want to face you until the final if I could help because Scott's a really good cook. And it was insane. Like there was like 600-700 comments on that vote. And
wow.
I beat into it and I was like, that's mad. So then in the final I was up against Barbecue Stew and he's another really, really, really sound lad who does loads for the community. And I was like, it just happened to be at a really stressful time because I was foolish enough to enter Mass Gorilla the same time running alongside Steak Aubrey. I had some Mass Gorilla with not expecting to get anywhere. Mass Gorilla was actually the competition that introduced me to the barbecue community. Mm-hmm. I was when I was researching for my Kamado, I come across Alton's Barbecue World and seeing that it was going on and I followed it and then Lee posted the accounts from everyone who entered, so I followed everyone on that list and so I got involved in the community. So I was like, do you know what? I'm in an iron and weather to enter. And I think I just said that to Jay Passon, like tongue in cheek. And he was like, I'll put you down. So I was like, guess I'm in it then. And it was just going. That was harder because you couldn't campaign and it was one picture. And I cook food. Like I know I do cook food well on the barbecue, but I'm crap at getting the good pictures or the good light. And luckily, Laura, for many years of baking cakes and taking photos of cakes, she's a wizard at that. So she was like, I'll help you present everything, you just cook it. And it was always a mad rush to get me picture in on time. So, yeah, so then after I won Steak Aubrey breaking, and a week later was the Mass Gorilla final. And that competition pushes you, mate. Like, Jesus Christ, it's tough finding out on a Monday what you've got to cook. Obviously, most people work Monday to Friday. With the cakes, we work Monday to the end of Saturday. So I had to fit me cooking somewhere there, send it off to Jay. And then I tried my best to not look at my phone during the voting period. I was like, all the way through it, up until the semi-finals, I didn't think I was going to win. I was like, let's get as far as I can. Let's get as far as I can. And then when they dropped the dessert round, I was like, I have to fucking win this now, don't I? I bake cakes for a living. It's my job. I can't have someone beat me on dessert, can I? So once I'd done that, I was like, there we go, it looks like. And then the second round after that was Surf and Turf. And I was like, I've got to go on to win this. So it's got to do it. And it was just stress, mate. It's so tough. It pushes you. Masculine that pushes you. You come out of it a better barbecue, undoubtedly. But some of the themes that they put up against you, like I don't cook much seafood on the barbecue, but coming out of that, I think the favourite dish that I cooked besides the dessert was the seafood round. I'd done like a Caribbean curried monkfish, and it was unbelievable. And I'd never give that a go on the barbecue beforehand, but competition pushes you. So when I won that, I was really happy with that. Like I wasn't expecting it. And even after the vote had ended, when they said, right, because it was close, and I speak to Nat from Northern Grillers, I speak to their loads as well. And when it was like, we're waiting there on the lab, and he said, we're gonna invite the person who comes second on. And I was just like, I was half expecting my phone to come up with me and like something had happened in the last minute and I've lost it. And then when they seen it was Nat, like, I was just sitting there in the kitchen, just like fist pumping. I was like, shit, there's loads of people in the house. I need to go upstairs to do this lab. And I swore so much, Jordan. I swear all the time. I mean, it's terrible. I'm such a potty mouth, but I swore so much. And people were commenting. Laura was commenting on the Instagram live. Artist was. My mum even commented. People were like, stop swearing so much. Stop swearing. Because I think after every sentence I said, I was just like, fucking hell. Fucking hell. It was nuts. So, yeah, it was but in March, from me saying I opened good enough to enter one competition to by the end of August, winning two of them was insane, mate. It was a lot's happened this year that I never could have dreamed would happen in the first 5 years of doing it, never mind the first year. It's been nuts.
What I love about the Masked Gorilla as well is no one knows who's entered what. Quite often it's like they use like different false names and things like that. So people get like aliases and things of this is what like that personality. But it means that if you've got someone who's got 30,000, 40,000 followers, they cannot influence the vote whatsoever. So you know that it is the best food that's making it through, which is phenomenal in itself. You talk about how it pushed you. Have you found since then that you're constantly trying different things that are outside your comfort zone?
Oh, mate, I had major barbecue burnout. Like, and I think I got it at the worst point because it was summer and I was just sat there and I was like, I need someone to pop up on Instagram Live and tell me what I've got to cook because I couldn't think. My head had just gone blank. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So luckily, I'd done an event with Laura and a bar in town. I'll talk about that in a bit. So I had that to keep me occupied. And then I was just like, I need to cook something. Now I need to try a few different things. So now I am. Like, one thing that it did make me want to try more is the fan of the mask girl was on a stick. So everything had to be on a stick of some form. I really want to get involved in, I wanted to do more skewered foods. So, I don't know why that's just gone. Lower back. Yeah, so I want to cook with skewers more, and luckily I've got a hell lazy yammer, so that comes with all the skewers, so play about with that. And I've just found since then, I've been cooking more for large groups of people, like I've been inviting round. I kind of got a buzz off people seeing the pictures of my food and appreciating it and loving it. So, I wanted out to see that more in person. So I've done a couple of private barbecues. I basically just put myself out there on the back of winning the competition, the confidence that I had. That I was like, okay, let's do this event. I've done an event for a big food blog in Liverpool that they have over like 80 staff members. I catered for their summer party, done private barbecue, done the event that we've done ourselves, and I've catered for photo shoots for our friends on a company called Yeti Productions. They do all the photo shoots for Primark and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I've done barbecue catering for photo shoots. It's made me be more confident within myself. And instead of second guessing what I'm cooking or how I'm cooking, it just made me go, like when I'm speaking to people, I'll go, right, this is what the menu is going to be. That it's going to be good. Just trust me and we'll go with it. Whereas before, then that would have been having like a 20-minute consultation, being like, well, I'll see if I can cook this for you. I'll see if I can cook that. Like, I know my strengths and weaknesses now, if you get what I mean. That's one thing that it has definitely taught me.
And what tips can you give people then? Let's talk a bit more about the food. So you've learned so much over the last kind of year. What top tips would you give people if they're either starting out in barbecue or just things they can try to elevate their skill levels?
Well, one thing that I think has made me a better like barbecuer is I've got a range of different barbecues. Like I've got the Kamado, I've got a mini Kamado, but then I've got a Hellraiser Yammer. And one thing that helped me is cooking on a kettle barbecue. I got a master switch to do that. Like, your private barbecues and your catering events. And if you can control your temperature on a Weber kettle, you can control it on anything. So I wouldn't, a lot of people turn the nose up at a kettle. It's such a good piece of kit and it teaches you so much. So you can learn how to cook on a Weber kettle. If you eventually want to go and get a Kamado, or if you want to get like a PK or something like that, it'll be a walk in the park for you, because a Weber kettle is such a versatile piece of kit and it teaches you so much. And another bit of advice is cook what you like to cook. Like, when I had that realization with Laura and I said, I'm just going to cook steaks, I'm going to cook big steaks, I love doing it, that was a game changer for me, because even when I was cooking something that wasn't a steak, I was having a buzz because I was doing something different. I think a lot of people do get stuck in the rut of trying to cook to please other people. So, like, if you want to go into barbecue fails, now my first fail was me second ever cook on my Kamado. I tried to do a whole brisket, invited 20 odd people round to my house, and it was like chewing on a bacon stock. It was terrible, because the brisket's like the holy one. Isn't it? It's like the holy grail of barbecue. People think, you always think, if you're smoking meat, do a brisket. And I dived in because I thought, right, this brisket's going to be boss. I'm going to get 100 likes on Instagram. Everyone here is going to love it. I'm going to get carried around the garden like a king on the throne. And instead, it was so, so bad. I was just happy that I happened to have like two whole chickens in the fridge for some strange reason that day, because I was like, I'm shoving a can of beer up their arse and throwing both of them on the grill to recover from this absolutely ruined brisket. But yeah, just that's the main one. Just learn your equipment, get used to your equipment, and cook what you like to cook. If people can see that you're enjoying cooking it and you're putting it out there, then I've always been dead enthusiastic when I'm posting. Like, when I read some of my captions now, I'm like, fucking hell, I was rambling back then, wasn't I? I just got dead excited because I was cooking stuff that I like, so I'll just be typing away. And then, so just do that. Cook what makes you happy. Cook what makes your family happy. The people who are eating it. At the end of the day, food's made to be eaten. So cook it for the people who are eating it and make them happy. And then if the pictures come out good, they'll come out good. As long as you're happy cooking it and the people eating it are happy, that's the main thing, man. Once you do that, the barbecue community, they're not really a fickle bunch. They'll see that you're enjoying yourself and you're putting the effort and time in, and that's what everyone appreciates.
I also think that all of us as barbecuers can be very guilty of not being happy with what we've put together and what we've cooked, whereas someone who doesn't necessarily barbecue all the time or hasn't really experienced much of that type of cooking, because I'd argue the quote-unquote average British person, as if we're a different breed, we're not at all, but probably doesn't have that much proper barbecue food, or just thinks of British barbecue typically as burnt sausages that are raw in the middle and like burgers. And we can put something together that we're not happy with and it can blow their minds. And the most important thing is them having a good time, and we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves.
Oh, mate, I've done that plenty of times. I've thrown wobblers loads from not being happy with how stuff turned out. And don't get me wrong, there's times when people have it and they've been like, oh, that's a bit like iffy.
But, yeah, we've all had that as well.
All had that. But then there's times where, you know, if it's not up to scratch. And I think we're like victims of a false standard almost. Like, we see pictures people put up on Instagram all the time. Like, I'm going to shout out Charlie Boy now, because he makes hot dogs look ridiculously pretty. And I made pizza dogs the other week for me and one of Laura's daughters, and I was trying to get a good picture of it, and I couldn't get it to look good, mate. And it was stressing me out. I was like, why is this not looking good in a picture? It looks so good in person, but the picture wouldn't work. And I was like, so what, I'm going to message him. And as I was like getting ready to message, I was like, this hot dog, the cheese is going to end up being like rubber in a minute, because it's going dead cold on the side there. And they just ate it, and I was like, that was decent. Looked over at Daisy, Laura's daughter, And then I looked like it was about to blow off, like it was the best thing she's ever had to eat. And I was like, I'm crying because it's going cold and I can't get a good picture. And she's just nailed this hot dog so quick. And then, like, that was amazing. Like, they were taking photos of it, doing a big cheese pull, she had a bite of it. And like you said, we're guilty of failing to meet standards that we only set ourselves.
I'm trying to, at the moment, set myself a little bit of a rule. I've not talked about this on here, actually, but I've done it tonight on a post that I've done for the podcast on Instagram as well. I did a really short, almost mini series on Instagram called 30 minute cooks, because people think that, you know, if you're barbecuing with charcoal, that has to take forever. So I was like, right, I'm going to do a number of cooks that's literally 30 minutes from me lighting like natural fire lighter and sticking like the actual chimney starter over the top of it to eating. Nothing in between, just stuff that you can cook literally in half an hour to prove that if you get home at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, it's just as quick as sticking the oven on and putting something in the oven. So I did a few of those cooks and I was kind of learning that spending half an hour trying to get a perfect photo for Instagram, because the other rule I have is I never put filters on things. If what it looks like on the picture I put on is what it looks like. If I'm spending that long taking the photo and it means I'm not going to enjoy the food, I'm missing the point. So I'm trying to give myself a 5 minute window of I've got 5 minutes to take the photo. If I'm not happy with what it is, it's going up or it's not getting posted. I don't care. I'm going to enjoy the food and spend time with the family. And I actually think that's improved my relationship with barbecue since I've been doing that for the last 6 or 7 weeks, because you can get so frustrated with, I can see this looks good. It smells amazing. I know it's going to be good, but I can't get the picture I want. And by the time I have, I've ruined the experience for me.
That's it, mate. I am the worst person with technology and phones. So whenever I try to massively edit or filter a picture, it just comes out not unlike any of it. It looks dark and burnt and everything. So mine's just always a battle with lighting and angles, and I'm doing this, that, and you're doing, like you said. It was only when you realise that you spend so much time cooking something, even if it is half an hour, you've put half an hour of time, effort, money for your charcoal and everything, and you are sacrificing the end product of that to have a picture that people who aren't even going to eat it, just so they can click a love heart on the screen and they can be like, go you, that looks nice. And then you can, if you were being honest to yourself, you could comment underneath, it looks really good on the picture, but it was ice cold and everything was clogged up by the time I took 45 minutes to get a picture of it. So you're right, mate. That's a fucking boss rule that you've got there. And I do. I know. I don't think I've posted it outside of Butcher versus Beast. I don't think I've put a food picture up for like 2 months purely because I've been enjoying eating it. I'll post my stories as I'm cooking it and I'm doing it as I'm going along. Most of the stuff on my Instagram page, I don't even know whether I can call it a barbecue Instagram because it's just me being a tit on the Instagram page now.
That's good, though. That's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. We joked before we started actually getting into the pod that I had this long list of stuff that I wanted to talk to you about. And nicely, you've been working your way through it without even knowing it, which is great. But one of the things I did want to talk about is the personality behind the page, because that comes off the screen, even in just the pictures that you've taken of the food. The fun and the cheeky aspect of it comes out, even if you've just put a shot of tacos, for example, that you've been doing recently. And also you can tell from like the charitable work that you've done and talked about on the page as well, that it's full of trying, like championing fun, championing kind of positivity. Is that a conscious decision or is that just part of what comes naturally to you?
You know what? It's something that I've always been an overgrown child anyway. I've always been, I have got the classic middle child syndrome. Like, I'm the second of four brothers. So, and my youngest brother's 16 years younger than me. So for a lot of the time, I was the middle of three. And I have always just had that attention seeking middle child syndrome. I've always been loud. I've always been the first one to try and impress people at a party. I've just never been shy. And then after the fire, like I said, it completely stripped me of my personality. And because barbecuing started making me feel more like myself, I felt like I could put my personality out there a bit more. And one of the things that I was seeing that a lot of stuff on in my head, I was like, I'm not as good as cook as the rest of this barbecue community. I'm looking at everyone's pictures like, I can't cook as good as them. I can't make my food look as good as them. But I'm going to be me, and let's see how far that takes me. And Laura has run a cake business for 12 years now, and she has never been shy about putting herself out there, speaking her mind, showing her personality through her page and her business, which is what I think makes her stand out amongst other cake bakers in Liverpool. So I kind of like used what I wanted. I used that influence of seeing how Laura done it with her business, and then I used it as a way for me to claim back my personality and put it together. And then the more fun I was having as I was barbecuing, like I was saying before, the ramblings I'll be doing as I'm typing out a caption, and I'll be looking at it and I'll be like, I've tried to write half a rap song there, what am I doing? And then when I do stuff where I Photoshop people's heads over like rap albums and stuff, that's just, it made me laugh at the time. And I just think of stuff and I think, if that makes me laugh, I'll put out there and see if it makes everyone else laugh. Like when I bake in the kitchen, I wear a hairnet, so I posted the Instagram story of me dancing to Russia the other day, and then next minute, Poppy from Norfolk Smoke Pit and Jay from Alton's Barbecue World are putting reels of them air humping triggers.
Yeah.
Tagging me in it, saying, spread the positivity. I'm like, I was dancing in the hairnet. You used to have gone all out there. We've got Poppy, Poppy and Crocs and a winter coat and Jay's cowboy saddle and a Traeger. I was like, I don't have a barbecue stable enough for me to straddle, lad. So, and to just like ran with it. So I just like making people laugh. I like making myself laugh, basically. So a lot of the time I do stuff to entertain myself.
I think like a great example of this, if you're driving, don't necessarily do this, but if you're listening at home, I'm giving you permission to pause this podcast now, but go and look at one of, I think it was probably two or three video reels ago that you put up of the Butcher versus Beast challenge with how excited you were. And even the picture, people will be able to tell just looking through your reels, the excited, happy face. I think it was one of the ones, not a spoiler for the series, but it was one of the first ones that you'd won, that you put the reel up. And just the pure joy. And it's fantastic. It puts a smile on your face. It teaches you about cooking. And it's just happy and exciting, which is what people want when they are scrolling aimlessly through Instagram. I think that it's a great thing that's brought this barbecue community together. But Instagram, to a certain extent, is kind of the devil. Is that okay for me to say?
Oh, mate, it's evil, isn't it? It just seems to be... Like, it just fucks with your head now. Like, the amount that people like... I've been like at times where I'm like, this reel isn't doing this, but like, I'll be honest with you, the last barbecue versus beef reel that I've done was the beef tongue. When I made that, I was in hysterics laughing at it. So Laura, she was crying, sent it to Butcher Farrell. He was like, that's the best one you've done. Posted it, mate, it's got like a third of the views as any other reel I've done before.
Out of interest and not to get geeky on Instagram, how long ago did you put it up?
About 2 weeks ago.
So Instagram have got this weird thing where they've messed with the algorithm now, where reels can take 2 or 3 weeks to even just explode. So it doesn't necessarily mean it won't get there. But this is the thing. If you're a content producer at all, whether you're doing it as a profession or whether you're just doing it for yourself, all of these things change, and then you put something out there, it doesn't blow up in the way that other things have. You don't understand why, and it can put you into a weird negative spiral, which it doesn't need to do. At the end of the day, we're just posting things for people to enjoy.
That's it. I was like, after the scene that, there was a part of me that was like, I wonder why that's done that. And then the other part of me was, I watched it back like 2 or 3 times. I was like, I can't believe I held a raw beef tongue that close to my own face just to make a fucking stupid reel and to entertain myself. And I do a lot of stuff to make Laura laugh. And the beef tongue, she found horrifically disgusting. And she had to work in the kitchen while it was poaching for 7 hours. So she had to smell the beef tongue. So I was like, I need to make her laugh with this now to make her withstand that smell worth it. And it was like I'd be upstairs and I could hear her laughing her head off downstairs, and I'd shout down, "What's she doing?" And she's watching it again. So that just goes back to me trying to make myself laugh and make the people around me laugh, and hopefully other people get onto it. And thankfully, a lot of people in the barbecue community, it seems to be a community of misfits. So we all like the same thing and all laugh at the same thing, which is good.
And I love the idea of that series as well. So talk people through it if they haven't seen it, and why it's different as well.
So, as I said before, I had major barbecue burnout after Mass Filler. And I was just sat around, and it was as we was getting towards the end of the summer. So I thought, this must be an awkward time for butchers, especially because it's not quite Christmas, so they're not getting the Christmas trade and they're not getting the barbecue trade. So I was like, I trust my butcher father, I trust him with anything when it comes to it. So I just messaged him. I was like, why don't we just do a little sort of news? Like, what have you got in mind? And I went, you just send me a box once a week. Don't tell me what it is. I've got to guess it. And he was like, that sounds good. And then I was like, I can't go in blind every week. Let me ask like one question and we'll knock it off. And I'll do a stupid reel playing about with it. And then it only dawned on me after like we agreed to do it. I was like, I'm devil getting sent like a fucking pig dick here, aren't I? Like, obviously, I have set myself up here. So we was like, Sam, we'll do it. And so what? He's been a star throughout it. He has sent me some really good cuts of meat. He's sent me some meat that cuts that I never heard of, that I never would have guessed. The one that you spoke up for, I was dead happy and I guessed it. I had never heard that before. I only got that through an Instagram sponsored ad where, for some random reason, I scrolled through Instagram and it said, 5 beef cuts you should get to know. And I looked at the picture on the cover, went back on my phone, looked at the picture that I had taken of it, and I was like, they're the same ones. So it was just a complete fluke that I got that one. I think that's why I was so happy on the reel, where you see me FaceTime and him, and he says, I got it. And you don't expect to get given that, do you? So it was just my way of showing how much trust I have in my butcher, a way for me to educate myself on different cuts of meat, and a way to tell, like, I encourage other people, have a good relationship with a butcher, even if it's one online, because there's so many top-class butchers doing nationwide delivery now. Like a little plug, Butcher Faro started it this week as well. So there's so many good butchers who can deliver to your front door, message them, talk to them, ask them what they've got, ask them how they can do stuff, and it's a good relationship to have if you enjoy cooking barbecue and you know you're eating good quality meat. Even if you eat meat less, eat better, eat sustainable, eat better quality, and just have that relationship with your butcher. So I was just showing that I've got complete faith in my butcher to educate me, to feed me, and to have fun. And I just wanted to see if other people wanted to give it a go. And a few people have messaged and saying that they're going to try this cut. Even one of the cooks that I fucked up massively, people have said they've never heard of it. They're going to go and have a look at it. Or the butchers have been messaging me saying that this is amazing. They want to do something else with someone who they know. So it's class. It's really done what I hoped it would do, and that's get people more open and to learn about meat and about butchery.
I think also, again, going back to the whole social media thing, you're not afraid to put something up there if you've cocked it up. And that's so important because also part of the learning process. That's why we champion fail so much on here. I bet you learned more from that brisket cook that you did, that second ever cook that you did on the Weber that went wrong, more from that than so many other things. Maybe not as much as maybe the Mars Griller, but I bet you learned so much from that cook.
Oh, definitely, Nathan. That was when I realised that the brisket, there's a reason why the brisket is like the bucket list cook, because it's not easy. Yep. And that's why I took a step back then and I was taking my time with stuff. I was doing cooking more forgivable meats, like I was doing pulled pork, and then, I mean, I'm still shit at doing ribs. Like, that's an running joke with everyone on Instagram. whenever I put up on my Instagram stories, which I'll cook next, the amount of people who comment ribs with loads of laughy faces after it. Beef ribs and salmon. Yeah. Fucking love cooking beef ribs. And I know that you've said that you've nailed them. So once you hit your spot with beef ribs and you can cook them, it's pork ribs and really shit at. And that's the only thing that I'm like, I need to get in there and to go again because I'm just throwing a cob on. I think I've ruined like 3 or 4 racks of baby packs at this point. I just can't get the sweet spot. But in regards to brisket and in regards to everything else, I just want to post it out there because, like you said, I don't want people thinking I live in a false reality where I constantly, I can pick any piece of meat and I can throw it on and cook it. That's not life. I've made so many cock-ups along the way. I do tell people about them all the time. In fact, I probably tell people about my failures more than my successful cooks because I find a lot of them funny. Yeah. And there's always a story behind them. Like the one I was saying before, it was the second weekend, Butcher versus Beast. It was called a banana cut, and it's from by the shin, and you're supposed to cook it low and slow. I should have known it because I had tendons in it, but I thought it was very well marbled. And we was going to Meatopia the day after. So I was cooking it. My brother come round. Laura was there. And I didn't have no backup food. It got to like 10 o'clock at night. I cooked it hot and fast. It shrunk to about this big. And mate, it was unbearable. It was so hard to eat. Like, we just let start. We had some like garlic potatoes and sautéed veg and roasted vegetables for our tea. And everyone looked at me so disappointed and angry. It's a fucking good job we went to Meatopia and had loads of food the next day because I'm pretty sure they would have kicked me out the car on the way down otherwise. But our kid was stubborn and tried to chew his way through it, but it was impossible. And that just makes me laugh. Like I tell everyone that, like, the look of anger on Laura's face, the look of disappointment in my own face when I look in the mirror. Oh, why is this not? The look of disappointment in my own face, and then the look at our kid looking like a bulldog with a bumblebee in his mouth chewing away. It's just so funny. So, yeah, I do like to celebrate my failures. I think it's important. Like you said, you learn so much from them. It'll be boring if you nail every cook first time around. So,
if you've been looking or thinking about an outdoor kitchen, then look no further than AOS Outdoor Kitchens.
They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
Their extensive showroom is based just outside Bournemouth on the Dorset-Hampshire border, and as well as numerous in-store displays, also features a live outdoor kitchen where they cook every week on Kamado grills, pizza ovens, and all filmed and shown on YouTube.
They offer a wealth of knowledge on how to transform your patio into the most incredible outdoor dining area with styles and options to suit every budget, and you can guarantee they will be able to create something perfectly suited to you and your home.
They stock and supply everything that you're going to need for outdoor cooking, including barbecues, Kamado ovens, pizza ovens, outdoor fridges, and every accessory that you would need to become the ultimate outdoor chef.
So if you want to make yourself the envy of your friends and neighbours, get in touch with them today to arrange a consultation and take the first step in transforming your back garden into the most incredible entertainment space.
Visit aoskitchens.co.uk.
I also think that you start to learn what you can do with failures, because almost all failures, there is something you can do to change or fix it or something. Like, for example, you can, with a tough bit of beef, you can cut it up, dice it really, really small. You could put it to one side and then chuck it into like a chili to try and get like the flavor really through it. Anything like that. If you've cooked something for too long and it goes dry, dice it up really, really, really small. Chuck it in the bolognese to bulk it out. Chuck it into a chili or something, and it will just bring that flavor through, and it will possibly save a piece of meat that you think is gone. So failures can teach you to improve your cooking in a different way. I'm a big advocate for leftovers anyway of barbecue, if you have any food left.
That's it. I think a cast iron pot is such an important bit of equipment for any barbecue, because smoke and braise is, besides like hot and fast with steaks, smoke and braise is my favourite thing ever, because it's near enough foolproof. You smoke it for a little bit, you get that smoky flavour in it. You throw it in a cast iron pot or in a tinfoil pan, throw some liquid in it, and just let it go until it falls apart. And it's fucking foolproof, mate. Like, as you said, the first time I done beef ribs when I messed them up, I left my Kamado bottom vents a bit too open, so wind got in there, the temperature shot up. And it was so hard, and I was like, shit, what do I do? I just threw them in a pot, poured some beer in it, poured some beef stock, chopped up an onion, chopped up a carrot, put it in, and then you were fall off the bone like a couple of hours later. I was like, I don't know how I've managed to recover that. It was a complete fluke. But then I just learned at that point, you can salvage stuff if you don't panic. Don't panic. Mm-hmm. Just, like you said, have a plan B, have a plan C. And if all else fails, call Uber Eats.
Always have a backup. Do you know what? That's not something we've said before. Always have a backup cook somewhere, somehow. Even if it's, I've got some chicken breasts. So if this goes wrong, I can cut them up, stick them on a stick, and just do them over the grill quickly. You will be absolutely fine. It's just about having that sort of backup there that you can go to. We've not really mentioned it much on kind of the podcast, but as long as you've got something that can save a meal, you're going to be absolutely fine no matter whoever comes over, because you know that if this brisket goes wrong, if these beef ribs go wrong, if these pork ribs go wrong for the 400th time for you, for example, you've got something on a stick that you can do and feed people with. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. Like, when we have a group of people around, everyone's like, fucking hell, you've cooked so much food there. And that, to me, like, I always cook and bring food out on platters, like, when and when. So we've got an island in our kitchen. So everyone will be standing around having a drink till I just come along, cut something up. There's enough for everyone to share. I'll go back outside, get something else that's ready, pork belly bantams, I'll bring them in, throw them on. And I'll cook like four and five things at a time, bring it all in, everyone will sit around eating it. And everyone's like, you cook so much food. And I'm like, yeah, because if course two or three had gone wrong, you'd still be leaving here with a full belly and happy. No one will talk about, we went round to Tom's for a barbecue, you fucked it up. We ended up having to chew garlic potatoes and roasted vegetables. So it's a good thing to have. That's why I enjoy feeding a lot of people. I like cooking food. One of the things which I'm going to do now is, it's not like a challenge, but I'm consciously making it. So I'm going to cook something where, like you said, I can do leftover meals, or I'm going to do like a big gammon joint. So I've got gammon there for food a week as well. I want to buy meat that will last me. Like I bought a brisket point the other week and I done birria tacos, and then the next day I done brisket chili con carne. First time I have ever had brisket chili, and it has fucking ruined regular chili for me.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous. I like the fact there's different textures. I love the smokiness in it. Something I've been advocating to my friends for ages who don't barbecue. Even if you don't barbecue, just get some stew and steak, cut it up and put it in there anyway. So you've got the different textures from minced beef to like chunks. But if you can get that smoke running through there as well, that'll blow your mind flavor-wise.
You know what? I felt like a knobhead because I've been telling people for ages, but this shit's not that good. It's you can get beef ribs. Did you manage to get a piece of
I knew that's what you're going to say. The most impressive thing about that brisket was it went on longer than he wanted, and you could tell he was worried about it. It didn't rest before he served it, and it was still phenomenal. It would have been about 10 p.m. at night, and the place was closing at 11. He was using a barbecue he wasn't used to because of circumstances meant he couldn't cook on what the plan was. But that meat, considering it was barely rested, was phenomenal. Probably the best brisket I've ever had. It was.
Easily the best brisket I've had. And my brother was there with me, and I took a bite out of it, and I turned around and looked at our kid, and I just felt like Scooby-Doo. I just turned around and was like, huh? Like, I could feel my whole face wobble. I was just like, and he looked at me, and I was just like, and I don't know whether he thought I'd just fallen in love with him or something, because I was just staring my brother dead in the eye, and I was like, he's like, are you okay? And I was like, get a piece, it'll change you. And he just like walked over, and I turned around and looked at him, and then he shot round and looked around, and everyone who was eating it was just staring other people in the eye as if to go like, you need to go and have this now. And it was insane. And do you know what, to come from someone like Dom, who's such a boss fella, he's such a laugh, he's a fucking talented lad. He knows the shit about barbecue. Only someone like him could pull off something like that, where it supersedes expectations by far. So that, besides that brisket, I tell people beef ribs over brisket every day of the week. We watched somebody feed Phil in the episode where he's in Austin. And Laura rolls over to me and goes, I want brie tacos as soon as you can make them. Thank you very much. And I rolled over and went to sleep. I was like, okay, so I don't really like cooking brisket, but still got a brisket point. Done the brie tacos, which I got off a recipe off Woodfire Feast at Chrissy's. He should have five times as many followers as he's got. If you don't follow him, please do. He's such a talented cook and such a boss fella. And then I met him through barbecue up north when he had a cookout, and he sent me a recipe for his birria tacos, and they were phenomenal. They were so good, these tacos. I loved the crispiness of them, and I was like, they were good. But the chili the next day, leftover brisket chili, was just, I'd never tried it before in my life. And I was sitting there like, my head had just gone, and I'm going to try and do stuff like that, get big cuts where I'm not just cooking one meal for me and Laura. I want to get stuff where it'll sort me out for a few couple of days. That'll help me for my energy bills rising.
The other thing that I would say on the point of chili, and Americans may listen to this and be screaming like, why are you saying that? Don't do that. If you've never tried it, cinnamon in a chili just elevates it so much. Like teaspoon of cinnamon. Oh my God. I can't remember who it was we were talking to on the podcast. And I apologize because I should remember. It might have even been Jürgen. We talked a bit about cinnamon and beef. You wouldn't expect it, but it hits and it works so well. Next time you do a chili, if you've never done it before, just try putting, if you're scared, because cinnamon's quite a funny flavor. Some people love it.
Oh, I love cinnamon. I love cinnamon.
Teaspoon. Chuck a teaspoon in. See how you get on.
Laura made a chili con carne for me when we first started going out, and she put dark chocolate in it.
Oh, yeah, chocolate every day. Every day.
Yeah, I'd never done that before. I was looking and I was like, this bitch's head fell off. I know she's a fucking baker, but why is she putting chocolate in me chili? And I ate it and it was like, oh my God, that makes such a difference. It just adds that richness to it. And so now chocolate and now cinnamon. And before an hour, I'm going to be fucking throwing the ingredients to a donut in me chili, and it's going to change me world.
Oh, I'm awful. I like experimenting so much, and it's, I mean, like my chili, because you can put so many different things and take so many different things out of chili. I love putting Marmite or yeast extract or Vegemite, depending where you are, in there. Teaspoon of that will give you a really big yeast hit as well, particularly if you put on early on and cook it down for hours and hours and hours. Let's be honest, it's not a chili if it hasn't cooked for at least 4 hours. Don't pretend it is. It's not. I do that. I love the dark chocolate. I absolutely love the cinnamon as well. It's just a flavor playground, isn't it? Frankly,
it is. It's an easy one to experiment with, isn't it?
The other thing as well is for children, if you're making a chili that you want adults to enjoy as well as children, I don't put kidney beans in. I'll put a tin of baked beans in at the end instead, because I know the kids will eat that. I know the kids will eat that and not turn their nose up at it, particularly the young ones who are like 5 or 6. Do you know what I mean?
Baked beans in your chili, that's well. I don't get why loads of people are put off by kidney beans, aren't they? It's a strange one.
I think it's the word. And if you're short, kidney and that colour of bean doesn't go for children for some reason, whereas they love baked beans. And you know, I'd much prefer to have like a kidney bean in there for the flavor profile from an adult point of view, but you can put that in there and it means that children can have an adult chili and still enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I was in my teenage years, I used to pick onions and peppers out of everything. My stepmom used to make us chili. She had to like spaghetti bolognese, you had to blend the sauce down and mix it with the mint. And now I just cringe at myself so much for doing that. I was such a fussy bastard when I was a kid. I'd sit there with a fork just flicking onions and everything out. And now I think I had chopped onions to everything that I cook.
Yeah. It's the base flavour, isn't it? Anything you're cooking, onions. At some level, there's onions involved.
Onions and 6 cloves of garlic, and then I'll just make anything from that. It'll be the weirdest bacon on toast, but I can make one with onions and 6 cloves of garlic.
You put out so much different content on there. I've only just realised we've not talked about the gravel pit at all.
Ah, yeah. See, I love doing the gravel pit. It's just wedding cake season, I had to put a stop to it because I didn't have an hour in the day. So the gravel pit was just, it was almost the build up to Sizzle Fest was coming. I was feeling not anxious. I was feeling a bit nervous about meeting people who I'd been speaking to online, like, would have gone on with them in person. I know how loud and how, like, big and boisterous I'm in person, so they might not get on with me there. So I was like, I'd like to meet them face to face beforehand, but there's no way of me doing that. There's not many people up here in around Liverpool who were going or anything. So I said, how can they do it? And I was like, do you know what? I just have people on Instagram live and I'll do that. And obviously, my name, Smokeface Gorilla, is a nod to the Wu Tang clan because Ghostface Killers are rapping in Wu Tang. And when we had the fire, the only thing that made people smile was there's a selfie of me while I'm in hospital with just smoke covered all over my face. And that picture, like, with a little bit of light in it on a dark day. So I was like, I'm smoke faced. So I was like, Smokeface Gorilla. And Wu Tang's like, I was like, people should come round to your barbecue pit. So I was like, I'll just call it the gravel pit and I'll have loads of fun with it. And it was boss. I had so much fun. Got talking to people who I spoke to all the time on Instagram. I had a lot of people you've had on it. I had Dan on it. I've had John Wilson was another one on it. Stewie was on it. I had all the lads from Steak or Break. Butcher Farrell was on the last one. I am definitely going to bring that back because it's class just sitting there talking shite for an hour.
It's about getting the timings right as well, because so many people are busy when it comes to the summer, but over the autumn and winter, you'll have the opportunity to do more of those sorts of things, depending on how busy you are with the day job, of course, as well.
But that's it. It's just wedding cake season, mate. Like, Laura has been so busy over the summer, and in turn, I've been so busy because I bake for her, and obviously dealing with the little one, there wasn't really a time where I could have an hour when people work, because most people are like, Friday night's good for me. Well, Saturday's our busiest day, so Friday night we're prepping for Saturday, so yeah. It really wasn't working out. But now everything's slowing down. I'm going to do it a bit more and get a few people on. I have to get you and Owen on. And
love to, absolutely love to. I know Owen would enjoy that as well.
Yeah, and then another thing, just to add a bit of fun to it, everyone who comes on gives me free songs to add to a playlist, and that's the playlist that I listen to when I barbecue. I put that playlist.
Oh, you'd enjoy that. Owen and I have very different tastes in music. I was brought up by mum and dad, who between them would be interested in everything from Black Sabbath to the Commodores to the Beatles to Dire Straits, to Meatloaf, to Metallica, and like huge broad spectrum. So my taste in music is very, and then when I was getting older and going through teenage years, I was into like emo and kind of that sort of metal sort of music.
Whereas, everyone's at the emo metal stage.
Of course. Whereas Owen is very much 90s rap and easy listening. It's just those two things. It's ludicrous. Did like a joint project with the Lighthouse family. That's Owen. Those two things would just be Owen. So we'd love to do that. And I think it would possibly mess about with your playlist, though, a little bit.
It's 1 minute I'll be cooking to NWA, and then the next minute, like, Jolene will come on. And that's just, they're just two of John Wilson's picks. And then it's boss. You get like some people like trying to, you go for the cooler option, like the, you go for the one that'll fit in with the playlist more. But I love it when you get a mad obscure one. And like yourself, I've got a crazy range in music that I love listening to. I think I'm the only Scouser who doesn't listen to the Beatles. Laura is obsessed with the Beatles, but I don't listen to the Beatles. I love Metallica, I love rap music, I love pop music, Michael Jackson, and I just wanted that. I wanted to get a big, massive boiling pot of different music for me to play while I'm outside barbecuing. And a lot of the times, there's a few songs on there that make me chuckle as I'm cooking. So, that's one of the things. So, what's awesome about that is loads of people have like run the stories that they're listening to the playlist as well, which is quite sick. So, other people get to play along and enjoy it.
It's that point, isn't it? We're going back to it time and time again. It's about enjoying what we're doing and enjoying barbecue, because it's a celebration of food. It's a gathering of people. even if it's I'm cooking for myself at home for my family, they're getting together and then you're posting it on Instagram and things. So that side of things also gets together. But it's just about enjoying the food, even if you cock it up at the end of the day. Enjoy the process
and the results speak for themselves.
Exactly. And on that point of challenges and things, are you ready for a bit of barbecue bingo?
Let's go,
shall we? So let's do this. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Perfect. So for anyone who doesn't know, maybe you're a first time listener. If so, welcome. I'd be surprised if it's the first episode you got into, but welcome. What we like to do each episode is we like to put a challenge out there to our guests. So we have a roulette wheel with a number of different ingredients on. And the idea is that we'll click it, it'll spin round, give you a random ingredient, and then we ask you to cook something with it. And then tag us, hashtag barbecue bingo, tag us in, put it on social media and show people what you're able to do when it's literally up to the barbecue gods. We have put a twist on it this year. So we're asking every single guest that we have to leave their stamp on the wheel. So we'll spin the wheel. Whatever you land on, we'll take off an ingredient and then we'll put on an ingredient of your choice for the next guest to possibly come to. So you can either be really kind or you can be horrible to a certain extent or make them experiment. So
I'll be nice.
Having a look on there, one of the things we also have is my signature dish, which we say to people, look, what are you known for? And you've just banged on about steaks. So if that comes up, you're going to have to do something special with a steak, which I don't think you're going to argue with me there. That is your signature dish, to be fair.
Yeah, that's the only one I can really think of. So a steak the size of my head, we'll go for.
Is there anything on there that would scare you at all, or you're allergic to? Because we've had that before as well.
No, I absolutely hate mushrooms, but I can't see mushrooms anywhere.
Nope. One of the things that you might not be able to see clearly is something that Dave from Spice Punch put on there is maple and pecan ice cream. So you don't have to necessarily make that on a barbecue, but you could pair it with something that you're cooking or even use it as an ingredient.
You know what? I want to try desserts again, so I'll go for that. I really want Szechuan pepper is another one. And is that whiskey? They're the three that I want.
Yeah.
So the ice cream, Szechuan pepper and whiskey.
Well, I'm going to click this. Hoping for. I'll click it and we'll spin it. And I guarantee it'll end up on chocolate buttons now. But let's find out, shall we?
At least I've got a good chili recipe with cinnamon and chocolate buttons.
Okay, I thought it was going to land on ice cream for a second. But we're on duck.
Ooh. Do I? I have never cooked a whole duck on a barbecue, so
wow.
I'm going to go for that.
I'm so pleased that has come up then, because there's so much you could do with a whole duck as well. Because if you really wanted to, you could cook the whole duck and then you could cut up and do different things. You could do something with the legs if you wanted. You could do something with the breasts. You could make tacos out of it. There's so much that you could do there. So
no, I'm going to have fun with that one. I'm going to have fun.
All you need to do, when you get around to it, if it takes a week, it takes a week. If it takes 2 months, it takes 2 months. When you get the time, do it, tag us in, have fun with it. That's all we want to do at the end of the day.
For sure. That's sick. I'm happy with that one.
I have removed duck. What would you like us to put on this magnificent wheel?
Miso.
Miso. Oh, a bit of fermentation paste. Why not?
I love that. Just the umami that you get when you marinate something with it, or you have a ramen with a bit of miso in it. It's super. So it's not an ingredient many people use on the barbecue as well. So hopefully whoever it falls on that, it's someone who doesn't use it and you start using it and it opens the mind.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's not something that the average person even looks into in the UK. And I don't know why, because it offers so much flavour in different ways. It's a great thing to cook with and there's a lot you can do with it. So I really hope that someone who is entrenched in obsession with American-style barbecue gets something like that and has to think on their feet to play with.
That'll be sick. That'll be really cool.
it's a great ingredient. You know, we've talked about so many things, and I'm conscious of the fact that we're getting towards the end of the episode now. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that either you want to talk about or you think should be talked about from like a barbecue, either community or just barbecuing in general point of view?
One of the things that's quite close to me and my family is we were close with the charity, and this Sunday I'm selling barbecue trays in Liverpool to raise money for them. They're called the Own the Plate Foundation. A lot of people from the barbecue community helped me out. We done a raffle for them at the beginning of the year. Got AJ Foodie, Twisted Ribs, John Wilson, and Jay from Alton's give up a barbecue for it. So many people donated prizes and bought tickets to this raffle, and we ended up raising over £7,000 for the charity off the raffle. And the barbecue community come on board with it bigger than I ever hoped for. And it kind of introduced the people who know the charity to the barbecue community as well. So that's one way how I'm trying to get barbecue, not well known, everyone knows barbecue, but the community more, and helping charity in the same sense. And I see it quite a lot. The queue together lads do it amazingly. So is it Riverside down who've just done like a big walk somewhere, like a marathon walk, and they have loads of people for Alzheimer's. I just think it's a boss way to kill two birds with one stone, to help a charity and to promote the barbecue community, because we're also supportive of each other. Let's support each other in supporting those who are more in need. And I think now, especially the state of this country, morale is ridiculously low, particularly for people who are less fortunate, people who are concerned. So I just want people to be a bit mindful that, and if there's an opportunity for you to help others, don't be scared to put it out there on Instagram. The barbecue community is so sick when it comes to rallying behind the fellow members. We all rally behind and we all help out, and then that way we're showing people who aren't part of the community what the community is. I think it's a boss way, and it's a way that isn't complicated to promote the community and support those who need it. So this charity's close to our heart, so we help them out quite a lot, and through that more people have followed me on it. They were voting in the competitions like the Steak or Break, and the families have got to see it, and then you're educating them about the barbecue, and they wouldn't have been interested a year ago until they had seen that. So I just want people to know that if you ever feel like you do want to do something like that, I'll always be there to support you and help you in helping others. And it's just class to see that there are people out there like your AJ Foodie, Twisted Ribs, John Wilson, Nick, who lives in Norfolk, who he bought a load of the prizes out as well. So many people out there who are willing to help. It's class to see. So I just want to thank everyone in the community who has helped me out through all the stuff that I've done there. Like with this one, Butcher Farrell's donated all the meat for the taco trays that I'm selling. Wayne from We Love Produce has donated everything else. He's just messaged me saying, make sure your car's empty. Don't underestimate how much stuff I've got for you here. So I just want to thank everyone for supporting me when I've been doing that charity work. And I want to tell others to do it as well. It's not just about posting a page on your Instagram. If you can help other people less fortunate at the same time, it's a good way to get the barbecue community out there, get everyone to know us.
You're right, and it's not just the UK either. It's at the moment, no matter where you are, big stories about interest rates going up in the US. You know, there's problems everywhere. Everyone is feeling battered and bruised over the last 2.5, 3, 4 years. I mean, you can go back further depending on where you are in the world, to be fair. And if you have the opportunity or the time to support your fellow person, why not do it? It's a great thing to do. It'll make you feel good. It'll put a smile on other people's faces. And most importantly, it'll make a difference to other people. And, you know, great if it also helps kind of the community get together. But at the end of the day, we're all people. And if we can help each other, why not do it? It's a great thing that you're doing and championing there. So let's all do it.
That's it, man. Definitely.
And I just want to say thank you for taking the time to speak to me today. And also, give one more shout out for yourself. Where are you? How can people find you?
So, thank you, first of all. Thank you for having me. I am Thomas. I'm at Smoke-Faced Gorilla on Instagram. And I'm on TikTok as well now, which is mad, but mostly on Instagram. So follow me there. Follow me on TikTok. I'm dead engaged, and so feel free to give me a message, take part in the little question and answer things that I do. Yeah, give us a follow and give us a little get to know each other and shit like that. Let's all support each other. I love this shit.
Thank you so much for talking to us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Thank you so much, Tom.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye now.
Cheers, man. Bye. So that's it for another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast. A huge thank you from Tom from the Smoke Face Griller for spending time to speak to me and also being so open and talking about some of the difficulties that he's had over the last few years and how barbecue has really helped him grow and get over some of those issues. We're big advocates of mental health here on the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast and supporting each other. And it's fantastic to see that sort of results that us as a community working together can do to help everyone. If you'd like to know more about us as a podcast, you can Google us, find our website. We're also all over the social medias, so you can find us that way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast. We also now have a shop on our website too, where you can buy different bits and pieces. You can get some merch. You can look at some bits and pieces from ThermoPen as well. So it's definitely worth checking that out. Also, go have a look at our YouTube channel as well. Not only do we have the video versions of this podcast on there, but we also have some other bits and pieces and videos on there too. You can also go onto the site and do buy us a coffee, which just helps us put together the podcast as a whole, as it does take a bit of time for us to do. And we just want to put the best content together for you, so any donations that go in through that way we will put back into the podcast. And we also want to be doing more charitable stuff as well, as Tom has mentioned on the episode. But until next time, keep on grilling. Today's episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast is brought to you by AOS Outdoor Kitchens. They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.